بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي خلق السماوات والأرض وجعل الظلمات والنور ثم الذين كفروا بربهم يعدلون هو الذي خلقكم من طين ثم قضى أجلا وأجل مسمى عنده ثم أنتم تمترون وهو الله في السماوات وفي الأرض يعلم سركم وجهركم ويعلم ما تكسبون وما تأتيهم من آية من آيات ربهم إلا كانوا عنها معرضين
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful, all praise is due to Allah, who created the heavens and the earth, and made the darkness and the light. Then, those who disbelieve equate others with their Lord. It is He who created you from clay, and then decreed a term and a specified time known to Him. Then still you are in dispute? And He is Allah, the only deity in the heavens and the earth. He knows your secret and what you make public, and He knows that which you earn. He is fully aware of all what we do, whether we say something or we keep it in our hearts. Whether we express it or we hide it, nothing is hidden from Allah. And if that is the case, then this means that we must refrain from disobeying Allah. Out of His fear, we don't disobey Him, neither in public nor in private, neither in our heart nor from our mouths or our limbs. And secondly, this means that if a mistake has happened, then what do we need to do? Seek forgiveness. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, one of his most common du'as would be, Allahumma ighfir li ma akhtatu wa ma ta'ammattu wa ma asrartu wa ma a'lantu wa ma jahiltu wa ma ta'ammattu. The most common du'a of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was what? That, O Allah, forgive me for what I have done by accident. And forgive me for what I have done deliberately. Forgive me for what I have done secretly. And what I have done openly, ignorantly, and knowingly. Because all of these mistakes happen, right? So this was the most common dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In another hadith we learn that once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam got up at night for salah. And then before he said the salam, after the tashahhud, as he was sitting, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua. He said, Allahumma ighfir li ma qaddamtu wa ma akhartu wa ma asrartu wa ma a'lantu wa ma asraftu wa ma anta a'lamu bihi minni anta al-muqaddimu wa anta al-muakhiru la ilaha illa anta. That, O Allah, forgive me for the earlier and later, open and secret sins. Those that I did knowingly and those that you know of better than I. You are the first and the last. There is no God but you. So even before saying the salam, the Prophet ﷺ is seeking forgiveness. Why? Because Allah knows what we يَعْلَمُ سِرَّكُمْ وَجَهْرَكُمْ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا تَكْسِبُونَ He knows your secret and what you make public and that which you earn. Because sometimes we say something and we don't even know what we have earned. We do something, we don't even know what we have earned. We look at something, we listen to something, and we don't even know what we have earned. So we commit sins without even realizing, without even thinking. So the Prophet ﷺ made dua that, O Allah, whatever sins I have committed, and you know best about what I have done, you forgive me for all of them. The fact is that none of us is an angel. Anybody sitting over here can claim that he is perfect? That he doesn't commit errors? That she's just perfectly fine? No. But especially when we are alone, then what happens? It's easier to make mistakes. Why? Because no people are there. So the fear of people is also not there. And that's why shaitan, when he's sitting next to us and we forgot to say a'udhu billah, we forgot our morning du'as, our evening adhkar, we didn't say bismillah, then what will happen? Shaitan is with us and he's not going to leave us alone. He's not going to leave us alone. He's going to keep telling us, until we end up making even a small mistake, but we definitely err. That is his goal. So remember, when we are alone, sitting by ourselves, alone in the house, looking at a screen all by ourselves, then what happens? It's much easier to make a mistake. It's much easier to slip. So, we need to become even more conscious when we are alone. Be afraid of yourself. Never be comfortable with your own soul. Be afraid of it, because this can also be an enemy. Because إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءٍ. The nafs, the soul, it constantly, over and over, repeatedly urges us to do evil, to disobey Allah. And this is why in secret, in private, it is more difficult to control oneself. Likewise, when it comes to the state of the heart, when it comes to our actions, our words, can we control them somewhat? Yes, we can. But when it comes to the state of the heart, nobody knows what we're thinking. Like for example, right now, it's quite possible that the thoughts that are going on in our minds are very negative. Maybe about another person, we're thinking negative thoughts about them, su'ul dhan, bad thoughts about them. And that is also a kind of a sin. Or entertaining doubts about the deen, about the Qur'an, about Allah. So the Prophet ﷺ, he taught us a dua. In the morning, in the evening. What is that dua? That, oh Allah, protect me from the evil of my soul. What is that dua? Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min sharri nafsi. Protect me from the evil of my soul. Because the soul also can be very, very mufsid. It can really cause a lot of harm to a person. And no sign comes to them from the signs of their Lord, except that they turn away from them. For they had denied the truth when it came to them, but there is going to reach them the news of what they used to ridicule. Have they not seen how many generations we destroyed before them, which we had established upon the earth, as we have not established you? And we sent rain from the sky upon them in showers, and made rivers flow beneath them. Then we destroyed them for their sins, and brought forth after them a generation of others. And if we had sent down to you, O Prophet, a written scripture on a page, exactly as the people demand, if a written scripture was sent down and they touched it with their hands, the disbelievers would say, this is not but obvious magic. And they say, why was there not sent down to him an angel? But if we had sent down an angel, the matter would have been decided, then they would not be reprieved. And if we had made him an angel, we would have made him appear as a man, and we would have covered them with that in which they cover themselves, meaning then their confusion still would not go away. And already were messengers ridiculed before you, but those who mocked them were enveloped by that which they used to ridicule. Say, travel through the land and observe, how was the end of the deniers? قُلْ لِمَنْ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ قُلْ لِلَّهِ. Say, to whom belongs whatever is in the heavens and the earth? Say, it belongs to who? لِلَّهِ. Allah owns all of this. كَتَبَ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ كَتَبَ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ. He has decreed upon himself mercy. Surah Al-An'am is a Makki surah. And remember that this surah was revealed when the Prophet ﷺ was migrating to Medina. And this surah, when it was revealed, an entire group of angels came down with it. A delegation came down with the surah. Jibreel alone did not come. A group of angels came. And the surah was revealed in one go, like a khutbah. Alright? It was like in one go. The Prophet ﷺ received the surah. And the theme of the surah is Tawheed. Believing in Allah as the only God, the only Creator, the only one deserving of worship. This is the theme of the surah. And this is why we see that in this surah, there are so many sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are mentioned. What are sifat? Attributes. If you remember the first day, I had mentioned to you that as you read through the Qur'an now, as we reflect on the meanings of the Qur'an, also take note of the different names of Allah. Now names generally we do notice them. But when it comes to attributes of Allah, we tend to neglect them. So over here, in this ayah, when Allah says, لِمَن مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, what sifa, what attribute is it that we learn about Allah? What attribute? That He is the owner. He is the master. That everything belongs to Him. There is nothing at all except that Allah owns it. There is nothing at all except that Allah owns it. Now this world, if we start listing the things that are there in this world, the list would be endless. And this world, compared to the universe, is what? The universe that just we know. قُلْ لِمَن مَّا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. The problem is that we read over this and we don't even think about it. I want you to feel. I want you to think about what you're listening to, what you're reading. قُلْ لِمَن مَّا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. To whom belongs whatever is in the heavens and the earth? Who does it belong to? Who do we belong to? Allah. قُلْ لِلَّهِ. And this Lord, who is He? كَتَبَ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ. He has decreed upon Himself mercy. لَيَجْمَعَنَّكُمْ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. He will surely assemble you for the day of resurrection, about which there is no doubt. Those who will lose themselves that day do not believe. The Prophet ﷺ said that when Allah completed the creation, He wrote in His book, which is with Him on His throne, that My mercy overpowers My anger. وَلَهُ مَا سَكَنَ فِي اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ. And to Him belongs that which reposes by night and by day. Why does it belong to Him? Something that rests in the night or something that rests during the day. Why does it belong to Him? How does it belong to Him? Because He is the Malik. And that means even the crawling ants that you see crawling around everywhere, what happens to them at night? Hidden. They go and rest. All day long you see birds flying around, chirping, making noise. But then what happens at night time? They stop and they rest. So anything moving that we see, moving, moving, and then what happens? It stops. Who does it belong to? It belongs to Allah. وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. And He is the hearing, the knowing. The thing is that if we really want to worship Allah alone, if we truly want to fear Allah the way He should be feared, if we want to love Allah the way He should be loved, if we want to recognize Allah the way He should be recognized, if we really want to develop ikhlas, sincerity, then you know how that begins? It begins through reflection. Reflection on what? On Allah's creation. That everything that a person sees, even if it's a moving ant, a person doesn't just think, oh, how annoying. No, you think, this ant, this little ant, Allah made it. Allah knows where it is going. Have you ever found a fly going around in your house? And you wonder, where did it come from? Where is it going to go? What is it going to eat? Where is it going to sit on? Where is it going to die? Is it going to be able to leave this house even? Or is it going to die before that? Every creature, small or big, moving or still, every creature belongs to who? Allah. He is the Khaliq. He is the Malik. This is how great our Lord is. But we forget that. وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ. If we come across a person who is very rich, if we find out about a person who has become very rich, who has earned a lot of money, what is our concern? What did they do? What advice do they give? What books have they written? What articles have they written? What piece of advice do they give? And we're desperate for that guidance. Why? Because we're so impressed with their material wealth. Who owns that person? And who owns whatever they have? Allah. Then, قُلْ, say, is it other than Allah that I should take as a protector? Should I leave Allah and go seek others? No. Allah is the creator of the heavens and the earth. While it is He who feeds and is not fed, every creature is fed by Allah, and Allah does not need to be fed. Say, indeed, I have been commanded to be the first among you who surrender to Allah. And I was commanded, do not ever be of those who associate partners with Allah. Say, indeed, I fear, if I should disobey my Lord, the punishment of a tremendous day. If I should disobey my Lord, then I am disobeying who? The Master, the owner of everything. And therefore, disobeying Him is something that is not very minor. It's something very serious. I fear, the Prophet ﷺ is being told to say this, that if I disobey my Lord, I fear the punishment of a tremendous day. مَنْ يُصْرَفْ عَنْهُ يَوْمَئِذٍ فَقَدْ رَحِمَهُ He from whom it is averted that day, then yes, Allah has granted him mercy. وَذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْمُبِينَ And that is the clear attainment. وَإِنْ يَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِضُرٍ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّا هُوَ And if Allah should touch you with adversity, there is no remover of it except Him. وَإِنْ يَمْسَسْكَ بِخَيْرٍ فَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ And if He touches you with good, then He is over all things competent. Why? Because everything is in His control. For He is the sole master, the sole owner of the entire creation. What do we see here? That any harm, any adversity that strikes us, who can remove it? Only Allah. And if it has struck us, it has struck us only by whose permission and will? Allah's will. Now recall anything that you have suffered in life. Bring to mind anything that you have suffered in life. Perhaps you bumped into the side of your bed this morning. Perhaps you burnt a hijab while ironing it. Perhaps you hurt yourself as you were chewing your food. Perhaps you ate ice cream someday and had a brain freeze. Freeze a brain? Brain freeze. Or perhaps you walked in the sun and felt very hot. These are all what? Dur. Dur. Perhaps you lost something very precious to you. Perhaps something that's very precious to you broke by your own hands. These are all what? Forms of dur. Nothing of this dur happens except by Allah's will. If I bumped into my bed and hurt my knee, that's because Allah willed it. If I hurt my tongue while chewing on food, that's because Allah willed it. If I broke my favorite cup, that's because Allah willed it. Now the question is why? Why did Allah allow that to happen? What was my fault? What wrong did I do? Yes, think about the wrong that we did. Definitely. Because the Prophet ﷺ said that no eye quivers and no vein quivers from pain. What does it mean by that? Quivers from pain. Because when your eyes are hurting, is it as if they are shivering, like almost like quivering, right? And when you have pain somewhere deep inside, also that pain, it's like a movement inside. Even if it's very, very subtle and deep, it's a movement. Nothing like this happens except that it is because of the sins that the servant has committed. And Allah pardons much. Allah pardons much, meaning He doesn't punish us because of every wrong thing that we have done. Now remember, any hardship, any mistake, any difficulty, any pain, stop and think. Don't stop and curse. Stop and think. Because generally what happens? Instantly we stop and we begin yelling at other people. We start screaming. And we start cursing and fighting. Think, what did I do? Ya Allah, this happened by Your will. You willed this for me. Perhaps I did something wrong? Yes, I did something wrong. Definitely I did something wrong. I don't know what I did. Ya Allah, You know better. Guide me. Tell me. What is it that I did? Show me my mistakes so that I can fix them. And if you really take a moment to think about it, why you bumped your leg in the side of your bed and hurt your knee so bad, if you really take a moment and think about it, you will know why. You will know exactly why. Perhaps an arrogant thought crossed your mind. Perhaps some negative thought about another individual crossed your mind. These are all effects of our sins. And yes, Allah also tests people for other reasons. But what we need to think is that when we are afflicted by hardship, then remember, Allah willed it. So who can take it away? Who can take it away? Only Allah can take it away. Whether it is poverty, or it is hunger, or it is illness. Then remember, this is a time when we call upon Allah. Ya Rabbi, ighfirli. Oh my Lord, forgive me. I did something wrong, you forgive me. So he who recognizes his Lord, he will seek forgiveness from Allah at this time. And then he will ask Allah to remove that affliction from him. When somebody hurts your feelings, even that is a form of affliction. When somebody yells at you, they're upset with you, this is also a form of dur. Recall and think about the wrong that we have done and beg Allah for forgiveness. And then ask Allah to create ease for you. Because even a relationship could be between husband and wife, could be between brother and brother, could be between sister and sister, mother and daughter. Even if a relationship is causing you grief, if a beautiful relationship that was meant to bring peace in your life, that was meant to produce love and mercy, if that is causing you to cry day and night, if that is causing your heart to ache, this is dur from who? From Allah. Who can remove that dur? Who can? Allah can. So beg Him to remove it. Ask Him to remove it. Ask Him to fix your situation for you. Those who ask Him, then yes, Allah also responds to them. Allah also helps them. Because when a person is in a state of difficulty and he calls upon Allah, then what happens? It's because of that difficulty that he was led to Allah. So that difficulty, that dur, it became a stepping stone for him in his journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A man asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "What is it that you call people to? What's this religion about? What do you teach?" The Prophet ﷺ said, "I call to Allah the Exalted and Majestic alone. The one who, when you are afflicted with some adversity, you call upon Him and He removes it from you. When you are afflicted with a year of famine and you call upon Him, He makes produce grow for you. And the one who, when you are in a desolate, empty land and you get lost and you call upon Him, He responds to you." When the man heard this, he accepted Islam. That yes, I believe in a Lord like that. Because only He hears, only He responds. Nothing happens except by His will. And nothing can change except by His will. وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ And He is the subjugator over His servants. وَهُوَ الْحَكِيمُ الْخَبِيرُ And He is the wise, the acquainted with all. He is قَاهِر over His servants. He has full control over His creation, over what He owns. Yet He has given us freedom. Freedom to do what? To do what we please. To make the choices that we want. And then He will question us. قُلْ أَيُّ شَيْءٍ أَكْبَرُ شَهَادَةٍ قُلِ اللَّهِ Say, what thing is greatest in testimony? Say, Allah is witness between me and you. And this Qur'an was revealed to me, that I may warn you thereby, and whomever it reaches. The Qur'an was revealed to who? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For what purpose? So that he may warn people? And whoever this Qur'an reaches, that person is also warned by the Qur'an. So this Qur'an is for who? Qur'an is for all. It is for everybody. It is for everyone. Why? So that they may know the reality of this life. They may know the reality of what is to come after death. They may know what is to follow after death, so that they may live their lives properly. Do you truly testify that with Allah there are other gods? If you say that, say, I will not testify with you. This means that even if the whole world says something wrong, can we agree with them? We cannot agree with them. Even if a person says with a lot of conviction that God has a son, God has children, then what does Allah tell us? Say, قُلْ لَا أَشْهَدْ I do not testify. I do not agree with this. I do not confirm this. I disagree with this. Because it is not just enough to say, I believe in Allah. What is necessary is that we also say, I believe that Allah is the only God. And there is no God worthy of worship but Allah. La ilaha illallah. There is no God except Allah. Why is it necessary to say that? Because a person can only go to Jannah if he believes in Tawheed. And Tawheed is complete with this negation and affirmation. Negating every god except for who? Allah, affirming Him as the only God. And this is Tawheed, pure Tawheed. When a person believes in pure Tawheed, lives by it, only then he is going to Jannah. Say, indeed He is but one God, and indeed I am free of what you associate with Him. The Prophet ﷺ said, whosoever will meet Allah without associating anything in worship with Him, will go to Jannah. Will go to Jannah. Meaning ultimately that person is going to enter Jannah for sure. In another hadith we learn, he who worships Allah without associating any partner with Him, establishes the prayer, gives zakah, hears and obeys, then Allah will admit him through any of the doors of paradise that the servant wants. That the servant wants. Meaning all gates of Jannah will be open for him and he'll be told, you choose. Where do you want to go in from? This one, this one, this one, this one, this one, this one, or that one? And the Prophet ﷺ said, and Jannah has 8 gates. تُفَتَّحُ لَهُمُ الْأَبْوَابِ. The gates of Jannah will be opened for them. You choose how you want to go. But this is for who? Those who believe in Tawheed and live by it, refrain from shirk, then Allah will honor them that day. Those to whom we have given the scripture, recognize it as they recognize their own sons. Those who will lose themselves in the hereafter, do not believe. And who is more unjust than one who invents about Allah a lie, or denies His verses? Indeed, the wrongdoers will not succeed. And mention, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the day we will gather them all together, then we will say to those who associated others with Allah, where are your partners that you used to claim with Him? Then there will be no excuse upon examination, except that they will say, by Allah, our Lord, we were not those who associated. Meaning that day they will deny having done any form of shirk. See how they will lie about themselves, and lost from them will be that which they used to invent. And among them are those who listen to you, but we have placed over their hearts coverings, lest they understand it. And in their ears is deafness. And if they should see every sign, they will not believe in it. Even when they come to you, arguing with you, those who disbelieve say, this is not but legends of the former people. And they prevent others from it, meaning from the truth, or from the Prophet ﷺ, and are themselves remote from him. The one who stops people from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in fact far from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because if he truly knew him, he would not stop people from him. Because we see that even there are people who do not believe in Islam, but when they have studied the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then they have begun to appreciate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They have begun to appreciate him. And this is something that's well known, because Rasulullah, his personality is such that when you learn even one story about him, it only grows you in love and appreciation of that great man. What a kind man he was. What a different man he was. Even when you compare him with the prophets of Allah. Isa alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, they will dissociate themselves from their nations. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he read those ayat, he wept, Ummati, Ummati, Ya Allah, what about my nation? What about my ummah? I don't want them to be punished. He was concerned for all people, every individual, even his enemies. So much so that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam made dua, that, oh Allah, guide one of the two Umars. And who were they? Guide one of those two intelligent people. And who were they? One was Umar radiallahu anhu, and the other was who? Abu Jahl. Can you imagine? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is praying that Abu Jahl be led to Islam. Can you imagine? Umar radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is praying that he be led to Islam. He made dua for him. If somebody gives us a dirty look even once, just once, one dirty look, we hate them for life. We treat them as our enemy. We never accept a word of advice from them. We hate them with all our heart. Look at how forgiving and kind and generous this noble man was. So they prevent others from Him and are themselves remote from Him. And they do not destroy except themselves, but they perceive it not. If you could but see, when they are made to stand before the fire, and will say, "Oh, would that we could be returned to life on earth, and not deny the signs of our Lord, and be among the believers." But what they concealed before has now appeared to them. And even if they were returned, they would return to that which they were forbidden. And indeed, they are liars.